shit that with a toilet. That with a freaking toilet, bro. I'm getting out of here.
Hey everyone, it's your host Melissa at Strange, Strange, Beyond Insane. So the clip that you just heard, imagine being on a paranormal investigation with either a group or just you and another friend and having that happen, something happened to you that would make you that scared. So that's kind of like what this episode is based on. And just from experiences of my own, and all the paranormal investigations that I have done in Michigan and out of state, outside, inside buildings, in asylums, in prisons. Yeah, a lot of that happens. A lot of times you freak yourself out or you hear something and you can debunk it. But in this video, actually, a toilet was thrown down the stairs. So as you can hear, the guy started running because he heard something behind him. And then he got down to the end of the stairs and a toilet just came tumbling down and then just completely shredded into pieces. So yeah, I would name this like paranormal investigations that have gone wrong or have scared the shit out of people. And I'm going to play another one and then I'm going to get into just like a little deep dive into what it's like investigating and how many things can go wrong and how important it is to have people around you that you trust that can help you come out of a situation or a feeling when it overcomes you and vice versa, what you need to do for someone else. I'm going to play this next little clip.
Larson Jr. went on a routine paranormal investigation with a group of friends at the Villisca Axe House. The Villisca Axe Murder House is a well-known hotbed for paranormal activity, and many people believe that it is plagued with negative entities that haunt the place. Around 12:45 a.m., while the rest of his group was outside, Robert Stephen Larson Jr. was inside the northwest bedroom by himself. He called for help on the two-way radio, and his friends immediately ran back into the house. When his friends ran inside, they were shocked to see that Larson Jr. had a self-inflicted stab wound in his chest. He was taken to the nearby hospital, but then had to be airlifted to one of the larger hospitals in Nebraska. He did eventually return to the house one more time to apologize to the spirits that he apparently insulted. But the story does have a happy ending. He did survive his wounds. But what made him stab himself? You tell me. Ghost hunts gone wrong.
Okay, so that is one of my favorite stories because you don't really hear any other, scary real-life incidents happening to paranormal investigators like that. And this is Alex Matsuyo, I think. She's an author. I follow her on TikTok, too. And I just kind of want to tell you some of the comments. So this is Haunted LA Girl. She says, "The Larson case is very interesting. He set up the room just like the killer, taunted the spirits." Keyword, he taunted the spirits. "Blacked out and woke up with the knife in his shoulder." So this is a Villisca, Iowa house. It's an axe murderer house. And, you know, you guys can look it up. We did, Chris and I actually covered this on a podcast episode last year. So this brings me to talk about something, you know, I have mentioned it in more recent episodes. I'd say in like the last 6 months, me investigating, physically going out and investigating, I've had a lot of different and more extreme things happen. And the first thing I want to start off with is at the Pioneer Cemetery, also known as Foot Cemetery, because of the main last names there, Foot, F-O-O-T, you can look that up. Again, that was a hole in the wall, little cemetery that we came across, and we just went down this rabbit hole And that's where my eye situation happened with the very bizarre cataract, known as a white cap, usually seen in like 85 years and older. And my symptoms started with my eye about a week after, and it literally turned into a ghost eye. Like, you could physically see the cataract in my eye, and you didn't even have to get close to it. Even the nurses at the hospital, when I went to get my surgery, they were like, holy shit, I can see it. And they're like, you're so young. And I had told them the story, like all of them, and they were just like blown away. So, and then all these other bad things had followed after, with Tom and Christina, you know, with family members. I do believe that it was almost like a Mothman prophecy, because the flying, let's just say thing that we had seen above us, and the wing flapping, and then Kevin almost being literally lifted off the ground, and I had that on video. I think that this cryptid is actually for the better good. I think that it was warning us. It's just crazy that I never knew that my eye had that, and that the symptoms started a week later. And then the other, you know, like I said, the other bad things that had happened to other people in the group had happened like about a week later too. The other thing I want to talk about is the astral projecting that started about, I don't know, 8-9 months ago. The more vivid, like, night terror dreams that I've had. But I really want to do a deep dive into, while doing paranormal investigations, in the more recent times that I've realized. So Christina she's been on here many times. One of the first episodes with her was talking about the haunted condo that she lives in, and that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But she's really opened up, I guess you can say, her third eye in this past year and a half. She's definitely come to her higher self, and she has so much passion for paranormal investigations and paranormal research, and she has, like, just really made waves. And she's come very far in a short amount of time. I mean, it's amazing. Something about her and I together doing these investigations, like, I can't, like, we lose time, for one. Like, we have a time lapse all the time. There's things she can remember, things that I can't remember. And then, like, the hostility, like, it will just happen out of nowhere, and it will only last a couple minutes. And then we both kind of, like, look at each other, and we're like, what the fuck was that? It's just, I think her and I together, I think that we just kind of, like, open. I think because her and I are so open to the afterlife, and we're, like, I guess you could say inviting, and we're so eager to just explore and get evidence and then talk about it. I think, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, but I think that sometimes her and I together are almost a little too inviting. I mean, we do ground ourselves. There has been a couple times when I've had to, like, tell the energy and the spirits around, like, hey, you need to take it easy on her. These, you know, she's just, you know, kind of, like, coming out into these other locations and investigating. Like, she's not seasoned yet in, like, going many places. Although she does have quite a few under her belt already in this past year. You know, I need to tell them, like, you know, you cannot attach yourself to her or I. You cannot come home with us. You cannot leave with us. You cannot be in our vehicle. But there is, you know, if I had to give any tips, always be coherent, you know, be in a coherent state of mind, right, when you're out investigating. A little bit of herb is not going to kill no one. Some wine, a little bit of wine, a little bit of beer. It's definitely helpful. You know, just to kind of, like, relax and take the edge off a little bit. Or, like, in our cases, we're very hyper, so it kind of, like, brings us down a little bit. I wouldn't be, like, slamming a bottle of, you know, a whole fucking fifth of liquor. I would definitely leave liquor and hard drugs out of any kind of paranormal investigations, because of the fact that you, again, you want to be in the right state of mind, and, you know, you got to watch for people going into, like, psychosis already, because you don't know what, you know, the energy at these places. There has been a lot of scary and, I'd say, exciting, you know, experiences that we've had. Some were a little more scary than others. But, you know, with all the evidence that we have and our recordings, videos, and, you know, certain apps that we use and the spirit boxes that we use and, you know, all the in-between, I would say that my favorite tip now to give anyone is definitely invest in some really good sound-enhancing headphones, like what they use at the gun ranges. I feel like that is, like, the key to any investigation now. Like, I don't go anywhere without them. It's amazing what you can hear from far away. Like, let's say if I'm all the way in the very back of my backyard, and, you know, we don't have a super small yard. It's pretty good size. And let's say someone's standing at the back of the house, so completely across from each other. If you whisper, I can hear it in my sound-enhancing headphones. So that is, like, everybody that does this should have invested in those. I mean, I don't want to sound weird saying this, but when you do wear those headphones to investigations, or if you're just doing something like at home, you do have to do, I would say, like, a form of meditation. You have to be very calm. A lot of videos that you guys see me doing these sessions, I will have my eyes closed. Sometimes I rock back and forth. You really want to feel, and you really want to, like, really, really open up your ears, and I guess essentially your third eye, to know exactly, like, what is being told to you. A lot of times you can hear people walking, and there's nobody physically alive walking. You can hear doors opening. You can hear doors creaking. If you're not used to them, I would say take it slow. It is something you kind of have to build up with experiences. The more you do it, the better. The better and easier it will be to manage them and understand and hear. So Christina does have a birthday coming up, so I did tell her I will find her a pink pair, a pink headset for her, because she really, really enjoys them. At first, she really didn't like it. She said she, you know, she couldn't hear, and it's, you know, too loud, and, you know, the background noises was, you know, like, distracting her. And, you know, and I told her, I said, the more that you use them and you learn how to concentrate with them, you will see that. You'll see now why I always bring my headset. It also is extremely draining. It does drain a lot of energy out of you. You are, first of all, you're focused on what you're hearing, and you're painting a picture in your head at the same time, like, trying to put all these words together. And a lot of times, it's way better than just using your natural ears. So I definitely recommend that. Again, be coherent during investigations. Know that when you're tired, you need to lay down and go to sleep, because you are up all day, all night. You know, you can hallucinate from having a lack of sleep, right? Like I said, what I've noticed even, like, the last 6 months, I'm losing time. Like, somehow, some way, there's, like, time lapse. I won't remember at all even, like, laying down. I'm talking a lot more now, like, when I'm sleeping at these places in my sleep. And, you know, maybe it's just something that comes with more, like, as you get more seasoned as an investigator and a researcher, maybe you're more opened. But I definitely want to hear from everybody and, you know, hear suggestions and hear your opinions. And hear what else you guys think and, you know, things that work for you. But I do want to, like, put a brief, I guess, warning out there. Like, really, really be careful, especially when you're far away from home and you're traveling and you're not getting a lot of sleep. And like I said, be around people that you trust. I guess I can't compare it to this, but in my mind, this makes sense to say this. Like, imagine if you are with, you know, one other person or a group, whatever, and you're all going to do shrooms together, okay? You're all going to eat the mushrooms. It's always been told if you're going to take shrooms, you have to be around, like, happy people. You have to be happy. You know, like, suppressed feelings are not good before taking these. I mean, because you could just have a really bad fucking trip, right? Same thing with going to investigations or just investigating locally. If you're not in a good mood or you're pissed or you're, like, really sad, you probably don't want to be going out doing this because you're more open to negative energy and you're easier, like, you're an easy target for a, let's just say a more potent, potent and ornery spirit to take over, or even something that was never living before. So, like, a cryptid or, you know, something, you know, much more darker. So it's just like a little heads up about this and, you know, play it safe and smart out there. And like I said, a little bit of herb, a little bit of, you know, wine and beer is never going to hurt anybody. But no hardcore drugs. I wouldn't be drinking liquor when you're out in the field. And also, you want to remember everything. Now, sometimes even being sober, you don't remember everything that happened until you look back at your evidence or listen to your evidence. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of put some pointers out there and hopefully this helps, you know, beginners or anyone out there that's thinking about getting into the paranormal field. And, you know, of course, this is all recreational. And, you know, you do go to these haunted places or haunted areas at your own risk. You know, there's no kind of insurance or, you know, a lot of these places you have to sign waivers. And when you sign a waiver somewhere, you're basically signing your life away. Essentially, if something happens when you're there, whoever owns it or the company, they're not responsible for you. So it's definitely something to think about. I think mature 16-year-olds that their parents are into this and want to take them, you know, to haunted places. I think, like, you know, if the parent thinks that they're, you know, they deem them, you know, mature enough and able to handle it, absolutely. Now, I would say probably like 18 and older. Your mind's a little more seasoned and developed at that time, right? So I probably wouldn't be taking kids to haunted locations. But yeah, so those are my pointers. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll be chatting soon.